Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. And in the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
YOLO.
Hello.
Hello. And welcome to a very special slash brand new episode of I'm Watching a Movie.
Every episode is special.
This one was more special because my sound is giving me issues that it never has before. So
I don't know how you do it every time.
But anyway. I don't know. It's very special. It was a team effort in being late today. Anyways, we are doing a special Fast Guy because the Academy Award nominations came out.
Yeah. Obviously way late. We knew it was going to be way late. But both surprising and not surprising at all.
I mean, I find this year absolutely impossible because I think every movie that's come out this year has the most forgettable title in the history of movies.
Yes.
And hold on, I'm just pulling up the nominations now. Minari, Promising Young Woman, I can't even remember. Jesus and the Black Messiah, Judas and I can't remember these names. And it's proving that marketing works, and because we're not out of the house, the marketing hasn't had a chance to get me the way that it usually does.
Yeah. I agree and disagree. Definitely marketing works. I think that's definitely the takeaway from this.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go through it.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm just pulling it up.
Anything that you think is missing?
You see, almost an impossible question because I have seen so little. I assume the documentary category is lacking.
There wasn't a lot of good ones this year.
Okay.
There wasn't any that was blown away by.
I could tell you who I don't think should have gotten nominated. I don't know if I could tell you what's missing. I know from based off of the Golden Globes, I assume that Jodie Foster was going to get nominated, but she didn't.
Yeah,
but do I think that she deserved it? I don't know. I haven't seen this Mauritanian, which once again is such a forgettable name. What is the Mauritanian? Is that not one of the ships? That's one of the... So the Titanic, and then there was the Mauritanian that came over to save the Titanic after it had sunk.
Yeah.
Is that what... Is it a metaphor?
I don't know. I ain't seen it.
Okay.
I was just like, Jodie Foster. All right. Like, I think In the Five Bloods, I feel like, deserves to be in this category. I don't know what the Academy has against Spike Lee. I feel like I'm like I feel like the only sane man in a crazy world when I talk about Spike Lee, where I'm like, how is everyone not love him all the time?
Well, are we talking like the realistic reality of things is that to get an Academy Award nomination, you have to sell your child. Like, you work so hard at seducing them. And maybe Spike Lee did that in the past and doesn't, and in the past they were less inclined to giving him a chance, and now when they would give him a chance, they just like, he doesn't, he's like, fuck you guys, I don't need this. That is an assumption that I'm making, and I have no evidence to back this up.
I just feel like I feel like he's like, you know, the last like crazy person making movies, and I respect it so much, and it's beautiful, and I don't know, and I feel like everything else is, I don't know, like against what's in the best picture category. I'm just like, why not? Like, it's as good and as interesting as any of the other ones.
I think this might be a very uninteresting year. I'll give The Five Bloods. I haven't seen it, and I feel like an asshole when I say that title, which could be a reason why.
It's not my favorite Spike Lee, but it is like, it's interesting.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's considerably more interesting than Mank or The Trial of the Chicago 7.
The Trial of Chicago 7 is my God, why is it in there?
Okay, so why don't we go through and see? So these are the nominations. So this is for Best Picture. You have The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, Minari, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, Trial of the Chicago 7. For myself, I have seen Mank, Promising Young Woman, and The Trial of the Chicago 7. All three, maybe some of the worst movies I've seen in a long time.
Yeah,
I would say Trial of the Chicago 7 is the most entertaining of the three, weirdly.
Yeah, it's got like Aaron Sorkin knows how to write some like pithy dialogue, but it is, as a movie, fucking exhausting. Like, it is garbage.
Well, we explained this on a former episode.
Yeah.
That they whitewashed history in such a unnecessary boring, unnecessary, could have made the movie a lot more thoughtful, but who knows? Who knows what goes into making a movie in terms of like what producer notes are? And I don't know. We're also working with Aaron Sorkin. Who knows what he likes and doesn't like? And he didn't want to hear Vietnamese names right at the end of that movie, Alex. It's such a strange thing that he did. When you told me that, I don't understand why.
It's baffling.
It doesn't make sense.
I haven't seen The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, and Minari. I have Minari downloaded. I've been putting off watching it because I'm lazy. More than just laziness. I also put an asterisk next to Sound of Metal that I talked about on a live stream where 20 minutes in, I started crying really hard and was like, I can't do this. As it is very applicable to my own life of like, guy who likes extreme music has his hearing going, and like there was anyone has seen it, there's a particular scene in a diner where she's writing down stuff so he can understand her, and I'm like, I did that, don't like this, about like what is going to happen that you don't have hearing.
Out of all of these movies, that is the one that I'm the most excited to see.
I think it's I haven't watched all of it, but the first 20 minutes I was like, this is the best movie. Is really well made.
Yeah,
and really,
I mean,
interesting and very thoughtful. And then Connor, my friend, watched the rest of it and told me about it. And I was like, oh, it like goes off into something that's, I think, very interesting and very cool. I think the only movie I'd say put it is Nomadland, which it's a movie I watched as well. I'm gonna put an asterisk next to it because I got blindingly drunk watching.
Okay,
Nomad,
you know, Man. I just feel like, why are we even doing this podcast? You've been hammered. You didn't pay attention, and I haven't seen. I mean, I'll tell you what I can speak to here. Like, I'll tell you, I want to see Minari, Nomadland, and Sound of Metal, and Judas and Black Messiah. I'm not dying to see The Father. It looks like that movie that came out a few years ago. What was it called? Like, Adore?
Oh,
it was called Amour? Amour
was great. What are you talking about?
Yeah, would you sit down and watch Amour again?
Not again.
Yeah, exactly. I was so pissed at Amour, not that it wasn't a great movie or that the thing was good. I just sat in a really packed theater at the Varsity, and everyone was so touched.
No.
Everyone was so touched, and I was like, as if any of you would spend this long with a person who actually has dementia. You fucking cowards. But I too was in that Wait, theater.
Hold on. Back up. Your issue with Amor is that you think that you're like, the world isn't that beautiful, fuckheads.
No, I don't think the world's beautiful. It's not that that's my issue. My issue is the clientele that it appeals to at the Varsity Theater. It just bothers me. Really bothers me. And the same thing, all the movies I see are at the Varsity. And like whenever they're like, I don't know, race related or something to do with like political issues, I'm always like, fuck you, everyone in this theater. But look it, I'm in that theater too. I don't know what I think.
There's not a lot of theater options in Toronto. The one where I really feel it is if I ever go to Young and Egg to watch a movie where it's just
like, that's the people's theater.
No, not that. Sorry. There's like two theaters across the street from each other.
Oh, Canada Square.
Yeah. And then there's the like upscale one. And when I'm in the upscale one, which is normally for like some foreign movie that for whatever reason TIFF isn't running, I'm in there. I'm like, ooh, time to watch I am by far the poorest one here, and I am not a poor man by stretch of the imagination.
So funny.
Like, are you wearing mink to the theater? Like, what is your plan here?
It's where the Mandarin is at the bottom of that building, and it's wonderful. Look, Promising Young Woman, can we leave politics aside?
Yeah.
I just am confused. This is,
we haven't talked about Promising Young Woman on the podcast.
Oh, have we not really talked on the pod? Yeah, we should probably We talked in real life.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and act like the premise isn't such a good idea. It is such a good idea. And it's one of those things where it sucks being a woman writing about sexual assault, trigger warning, because it's that thing of like, you're the only person, you represent everyone who's writing. You don't get to have like, you don't get a chance of making a shitty version of something because it is such an important topic, and there's not a lot of women filmmakers and women writers that make it to this level in the industry. That being said, so putting that aside, because that is not my critique of the movie, I found it a fully, terribly constructed movie with a bad script, with characters that did a weird and unearned transformation, and with motives that are strange and not, that just don't make sense to me. That's where it lends to the political side of things, and that's more of a personal thing. And I'm sure some people watched it and their motives made total sense. But in terms of the movie portraying it, what the fuck?
I think the thing you said to me is the most prescient of it, of that, like, there aren't, like, every film about sexual assault from a female perspective has to be the most important piece of art. And there's no, like, room for it. And I think what they respect it for is that it was like, I'm going to make, you know, the, like, trash art version of this, or the, like, like the subversive, like grindhouse version of the sexual assault, which I respect for that. Does it succeed? Not even slightly.
No, and that's the thing. It's like my brain was doing mental gymnastics watching that movie, because I would be like, okay. It's not what the preview advertised. It's not as good as the preview seemed, but maybe this is just a straight up revenge. Okay. It's not a good revenge movie. Like, with every time I tried to like sink it a little bit lower. Okay. But how do I just feel about this movie just as a movie? And I was like, at the end of the day, it's not even a fucking romantic comedy drama that they like probably should have made it completely. Cause that was only the only parts that I enjoyed watching.
I said to you about this of just like, it is like three movies smooshed together. And so you have this like, grindhouse, like rape revenge movie, that like I think it does an all right job with, and then it does the hear me out, and then it does the like satirical romantic comedy movie, which I think it does an all right job with, and then it does the family trauma stuff of like her with her family, her with like the mother family, those like quieter scenes. It does an all right job with, but these three all right movies next to each other make each version of it crap. So it's like someone's like making me food and they're like, oh, I'm going to put my three favorite flavors in it and not think about how they go together. I'm going to put in chocolate, blue cheese, and onions. I'm like, fuck you. That's disgusting.
That's the thing is like,
but I'm not like gonna... chocolate. I like blue cheese and I like onions.
Love blue cheese. But I'm not going to like... It's so annoying because I feel like as like a woman, like dissecting this kind of stuff, and like a lot of my like female friends, I hate when I say female, I sound like an incel. A lot of my
my femboid friends,
my female, like not a lot, just a couple, who've seen it, really like the movie, and I just have to say to them, I was like, do you like the movie or do you like that there is a movie being made about this? Because that is allowed. Obviously, everyone's allowed to have an opinion. But it's this thing of like, I actually, if you liked this movie for the movie's sake, not for the political context, not for anything. But like, yes, yes, Carey Mulligan is a good actor. No one's saying anything. Bo Burnham, super like charming and attractive. Charming. And you love him so much. Of course. Stars is Blind, the Paris Hilton song. One of the top 10 songs of all time. But that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about, like, do you like the actual movie? And if you do, can you explain what you like about it? This is the exact same feeling I had about Bohemian Rhapsody. Please, someone sit me down who likes this movie sincerely and from a constructive, like, movie point of view. And I will listen and honor what you have to say, because otherwise, I'm going to think that this Emerald Fennell woman, I say it so with such disdain, worked it and has probably one of the most powerful managers out there right now.
100%. She's on The Crown, ain't she?
Yeah, yeah. She plays Camilla Bowles. Listen, before the movie came out, I was the biggest fan in the world because I died for the trailer. And then when I found out that she was Camilla, I was like, I'm all in on this girl. That is so cool to me. And then I saw the movie and now I just think, maybe she's my enemy. No, she's not my enemy.
I don't know. You saying like, oh, I've only met, maybe it's the type of friends that I keep. I don't know. But all my, that sounds weird, but it's like everyone I know who's seen it is either hated it or I'm going to shout out Emma Davey, who was like, I fucking love that there is a female shit movie. Like, she's like, I fucking love that it's like a female, like, shitty horror movie. The number of like shitty male horror movies I've seen, or male, like thriller, revenge, whatever movies, number of those I've seen that I've sat through that like don't make any sense and blah blah blah.
I accept a female perspective.
She's like, I fucking love it. It's bad. Like, she's like, it by no stretch of the imagination is this a good movie.
I felt like I was losing my mind because as soon as I watched it, I googled all the reviews. And I was like, I need to know what people, and people were not hard on it. And I have to assume it's because there's no nuance in the media. And if they were hard on it, they would be afraid of how it would be
perceived to be hard on. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think I think there's three pretty good movies that got smushed together to make one weird, lopsided, hard to follow.
So weird
movie. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we can spend a lot of time on Promising Young.
But then I also was like, oh, I wonder if that was intentional and they're trying to say something with it, but I definitely am not getting it. And maybe someone's smarter than me. Because, like, I don't know, I watched a David Lynch movie and that shit's weird and hard to follow. But, like, I'm like, oh, it's clearly trying to tell me something.
No.
And
but
I may
not
get it. Yeah.
We're not talking about this is so weird and it's hard to follow. This was weird and hard to follow because it, like, didn't have a proper story structure. You know, like when she, sorry, spoiler alert, she'll go to a lawyer's house and she immediately opens the doors as a lawyer who's defended people who have raped and he gets them off. And she goes to his house and he immediately starts to sob and says that he can't sleep, help me sleep. And it's like, in what world was that earned? Was that part earned? Like, with what transformation did anyone have for her to walk in? And so, like, when we got to that point, I was like, forget it. This movie doesn't know. Like, Laverne Cox, what was the point of that character? Just to show that you have Laverne Cox in your movie? It's very tokenistic for several reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I just upset because I died for the preview. I died for that trailer. The trailer should win all the awards.
Slickest marketing. Yeah. They had the slickest marketing. Oh, but here, have you seen the DVD cover, the Blu-ray cover for it?
No.
So, you know, they have all these like nice, cool posters that they put up for the movie of like the one where it's like the lipstick writing Promising Young Woman, or there's like one of like looks like a 70s like horror movie. The Blu-ray poster, just a picture of her with like block letters, Promising Young Woman in the corner. It's the ugliest fucking thing. When they had such slick, beautiful marketing the whole time, I'm like, whose decision was that? Anyway,
I guess the real issue at the end of the day is not that the movie got made, not that I didn't like it. It's none of that. It's like good. And you know what? Emerald Fennell, obviously she has a great movie inside of her and I see that happening.
Yes, I think.
Why is this movie nominated? And I get it, it was 2020. This movie should not be nominated because this is the type of movie that gives ammo to the incel type guys, because it really proves that for women, it's like, oh yeah, all men are rapists, all men are out to get me, and all women are fucking crazy. That is truly the yeah. way that it presents itself. Obviously, there's more detail. So it's that kind of thing that I'm like, okay, so now someone's going to watch this who's not very bright, who's anti-woman, who's like, oh, look at this woman getting a nomination for an Oscar that she doesn't deserve. And it's like, it does more harm than good.
Yeah, and I think also similar of even just like putting it against, like putting Promising Young Woman against Nomadland. I know a movie you haven't seen, but like how much more thoughtful that movie is. Mm. And it also like doesn't really follow a contemporary story structure, but I definitely follow what's happening, and I know the interiority of Frances McDormand, who does a wonderful job. To put it next to that is 100%. Like, people are going to look at it who are looking for a reason to be like, oh, the Hollywood types are just being like, any woman, any black guy gets a fucking nomination. Yeah. They don't care about the merit of the movie. And you look at that, and it's like, well, you know, you're both right and wrong in some ways of like, you know.
Well, yeah. The overcorrection that the Academy Awards has been doing is ridiculous. I mean, I don't think just anyone gets it. I think anyone with the most powerful agency and manager.
Oh boy,
get it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like,
yeah, that's I mean, you're right and wrong is like the reason why it's like, yeah, like this definitely was part of the push, but also it's 100% because I'm sure there's some Weinstein or something at the top level of this.
Yeah, and we're not sitting here acting like these people are untalented. And also 2020 was like a hell of a year. But, like, I won't even get so hard on, like, Promising Young Woman. Like, I guess 2020 was so hard that, like, Mank had to get 10 nominations. Do we think that this movie would exist?
Mank is my Promising Young Woman, where I'm like, how? It's some Emperor's New Clothes shit. Like, okay. I'm just like, I watched it. I was like, I didn't like it. I liked a bit what it was swinging at. I like the scene at the end where he's drunk and yelling at them, and he realizes he's yelling the plot of Citizen Kane. But the rest of the movie I didn't really enjoy. And I really like that director, and I really was looking forward to it, and blah, blah, blah. And then to get all the nominations, I'm like, do people like it? Like, was I wrong? Like, what is this?
Okay, so I wish I could bring my cousin who lives upstairs, so we watch TV every night together. Loved it.
Really?
And I didn't want to get into it because I could tell that I had like a little bit of like a jerky thing inside of me, and I could tell that he liked it. So I wasn't going to be like,
yeah, don't take
it. But
down,
it's a bad movie and you have wrong ideas. Now, the only way that I could describe his like point of view on stuff is he loves all movies, but he's a real mainstream movie dude. Like he loves, but I am too. But it's like he loves like the Batman movies. Like he loves The Dark Knight. That's like one of his movies. So I'm just thinking if like you like those types of movies, maybe it filters into like, but he doesn't like Marvel.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I would like the level which I engaged on Mank, I wouldn't call very mainstream. I thought it's quite.
Sorry. Heady. Mainstream filmy person. Like,
okay, yeah.
Mainstream cinema head.
No, but I think like, I know what you mean, but even like Mank, it doesn't, maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I just found, it's also, once again, if someone wants to sit me down and explain to me why Amanda Seyfried got nominated for Best Supporting Actress, I'd like to know. Once again, not a bad actor, but also what did her character do and why was I supposed to be so impressed with that performance? Explain.
Yeah, I have no answer. I just realized one more movie I feel like really got shafted as First Cow. I thought First Cow deserved to be in
this. Well, I wonder why. What a title. The titles this year should have their own. No, I did hear First Cow was very good.
It wasn't my favorite, but I really enjoyed it, and it was very interesting, and I think it would belong next to a lot of these movies very comfortably. Like, Shaw the Holster, who do you think is going to win Best Picture? I'm guessing Nomadland.
You think Nomad? Yeah, it's got to be between Nomadland and Minari. I have no idea. I think we might get a Best Director out of Nomadland, and then maybe a Best Picture out of Minari.
I think we might get they might give David Fincher Best Director.
They better not. I'll
kill
him.
You can say anything about Mank. It is well directed.
But they won't. I don't think so. Not the way that the trend is going and not the year that it is. The only person that they're going to do that with, like that they're going to give, what do you call it? Like a career Oscar. They do that sometimes because they'll snub you and then they owe it to you later is Glenn Close. That I think for Hillbilly's that, Elegy, unfortunately.
The worst movie I saw all year.
Yeah, that's true. That was a confounding movie because that's a bunch of people that know how to make movies that got together and decided they didn't know how to make a movie.
Yeah. I'm just going to... did you watch Another Round or Drunk?
No, but I'm interested in it and I have been told that if I want to watch it, don't Google it or know anything about it because it's very, very good and you don't want the plot is a big part of it.
Really? That's an interesting read on it. But I agree. Yeah. I don't disagree, but I was like, not really liked it. I think the nod for best director is well earned.
He bumped out Sorkin, I think.
Which is great. Good.
It's great news.
Sorkin needs to be Sorkin. Off of all the lists.
I love Sorkin.
He did a bad thing with Trial.
That's fucking funny, eh?
Unfortunate that Riz Ahmed is going to lose to Chadwick Boseman. I have no idea how good Chadwick Boseman is, but let's be real. That's a real lock.
I think that Chadwick Boseman was aiming for an Oscar nomination this year, regardless of the outcome, whether it was 2020 or unfortunately that he passed away. Like, I think he had put in such work that something was going to give. And so I have no qualms. He's a very good actor. I really like him. Let me see. Who's he up against, though?
He's up against, like, Riz Ahmed, I think. But I'm saying his name wrong. Stephen Yeun.
Anthony Hopkins has one. Gary Oldman has one. Stephen Yeun, I love. And Riz Ahmed. These are just the hottest. This is might be one of the hottest categories in a very long time to have it like Chadwick, Riz, and
Gary
Steven.
Oldman.
I mean, did I ever tell you about my cousin? In Italy, when I was in grade 5, I went to Italy and we were talking about like who we liked and the Backstreet Boys were really big. And we're like, which celebrities do you like? And she was like, Getty Oldman. Oh, Getty Oldman. So apparently, to a 10-year-old Italian girl, that was it. What I'm trying to remember, we talked about this on a podcast once too, and I remember being like, but what? We must have talked about it when we talked about Mank. But I was what movie came out when we were that age that would have made her see him in a sexual way? And I'm thinking like The Professional? It's The Professional so or funny. Fifth Element?
I could see Fifth Element turning.
Oh my God.
Fifth Element is the horniest movie. But it's also like kiddie enough that you're like, okay. And they're like, okay. Like we talked about it on the pod.
Maybe that's what it was. Is that but how do you watch Fifth Element and not think about Bruce Willis?
Everyone's got, there's something for everybody in Fifth Element.
Bruce Willis, that was a life-changing movie. Now I can't not see him being sexy. Like before it was very much like, I think he's a good looking guy, but he doesn't do it for me. And now after Fifth Element, I'm like, I can't. Anyways,
I do have to say that this is maybe the one where I could feel the most like I could nail betting this year. Like I feel like the categories are pretty obvious this year.
I think so, but I gotta see what the SAG Awards, the Producers Guild, and the Writers Guild say, and then I will be ready to sit down with my choices, which always fucks me over, anyways. I'm trying to look. I think Riz Ahmed has another Academy Award performance in him. In terms,
he's gonna be great forever.
And I think Stephen Yeun, who knows where his career is gonna go? It's probably gonna go straight into blockbusterhood.
Oh, he's gonna be the star. He's gonna be the star of every action movie.
Yeah. Might be one of his chances, and then maybe I don't know how old he is, but maybe in like his 50s he'll probably get like. Oscar
he'll be
time.
In like some crusty like kitchen sink drama.
I'm not worried for him. Anthony Hopkins got nominated last year for the Two Popes. And it's like that movie sucked. So I'm interested to see The Father, but I assume that it's not great. But that being said, I'm sure.
I know nothing about The Father except for I saw like a few stills. I'm like, man, this is a movie I'm going to have to endure. Huh? Like,
it's a play.
I knew it.
But you know what? But so is Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And so is... What else? Hold on. Oh, no. I can't remember.
Judas and the Black Messiah?
No, that's original. I can't remember. But that's a play. Oh, I think it was snubbed, the other movie that I'm thinking of, and I just don't see it, so it's not coming to mind.
Oh, it was like One Night in Miami?
Yeah, or... One Night in Miami was a play as well, but that was snubbed, so it doesn't really matter.
Do you want to look? Do you want to look at some screenplays?
Yeah, but I guess for best supporting act, okay, for best actress, I really liked Vanessa Kirby in Pieces of a Woman, and I would love her to win, but I see that one. I don't know. Is Viola Davis the lock for that? Who's the lock for that one?
For best actress, Frances McDormand.
Again, like, I'm sure she's amazing, but like she just won.
She'll win again, baby.
People are allowed to do that. Okay. People really like Carey Mulligan. You know how I feel. I think she's really good.
Yeah, but I watch Nomadland because it's just Frances McDormand. Like
I want to. Alex, can you send me an illegal tape of it? Because it's not rentable yet.
All right. I'll figure it out.
Best supporting. I mean, I'm hoping that it's fucking Maria Bacalova.
Oh, yeah. I think it'd be very funny.
But I think it's going to be Glenn Close. But, like, fuck. I hear that Yoo Jung-yoon from Minari is, like, incredible.
That's the kid, yeah?
Oh, no, it's a woman. It's a woman.
Woman? Okay. Oh, sorry.
It's best supporting actress. Is the kid nominated? No, the kid's not nominated.
No. I had the thought of, like, I can't believe that.
Daniel Kaluuya. Oh, boy. Goodbye. He's going to win for Judas and the Black Messiah. Again, this is a very sexy category. We have Sacha Baron Cohen, Daniel Kaluuya,
Leslie Odom,
and Lakeith Stanfield. Like, this is like such a hot category. Wow, what an era we're in, you guys.
You couldn't see it, but Vitae just like fixed her hair. Like, she was too hot.
Fuck, it's 5:35. Okay, we gotta.
Yeah, we gotta bang it through.
Oh, but the guy, Paul Rashi, I don't know how to say his name. From The Sound of Metal is the oldest man I've ever seen in my life. So it's so funny. Okay, best screenplay. Okay, original.
Original.
Judas and the Black Messiah.
I think they're going to give Sound of Metal the original as a you got that. But if not, then it's going to be Trial of Chicago 7.
Wow, weird. Why do I think that Judas and the Black Messiah has a...
A movie you have not seen.
I'm just going to put it out there. I've seen Trial of Chicago 7... And I just think, like, give it to any other West Wing episode versus that movie. And he used a West Wing joke.
There's tons of West Wing jokes in it, yeah.
Oh, Aaron. You know that we watch this. Okay. adapted. Borat, which apparently was written by 9 people and most of it was improvised. So that's a real...
Yeah, the Borat screenplay is wild. Like, the Borat screenplay... Like, I listened to a podcast with the director and he talked about how they would write out scenes and then write like all the possible options for who they're trying to prank. So like, oh, if I say this and he gets mad, I can say this. If I say this and he gets like confused, I can say this.
You know, I said this when we spoke about Borat in a former episode, but I forgot to really put it in. Like, the director of Borat directed me in an episode of What We Do in the Shadows. So.
No, you put it in. Don't worry. It was very present.
It's like, it's like I'm an Academy Award nominated person. I mean, let's just say that I was directed in an improvised scene by the guy who directed Borat. So I think I kind of understand the process as to how they made Borat.
Yeah, when she wins her best supporting actress, you push her off stage.
I think I know. They didn't give me a chance to audition.
Left in the edit.
They didn't give me a chance to audition for that. Pff, where was he? I guess Nomadland is going to win. There's a big chance that woman who wrote, directed, and then produced Nomadland will win all the Oscars, and then she'll win like 4 Oscars in one night, and then that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She's going to pull a Kevin Costner.
And then in the grand tradition of Hollywood, never be seen again.
Well, of course, because she's a woman and she's Asian, because, you know, they get nominated once and then
gave you what you needed.
Yeah, they nominated like Catherine Bigelow. I think she was like the last female director. Like, we'll give her the Oscar and then they'll shut up about it. It's such a disappointing. It's so disappointing that this is the most diverse. This is the most like gender parity, all of that stuff that's ever existed in the Oscars. And it's because the white men chose not to release movies in 2020. And I don't think these movies are any less deserving. Mm-hmm. Like a Nomadland, and I don't think it's any less deserving than it would have been any other year, but I have a feeling it probably would have gotten forgotten pretty quickly.
I think any other year, Nomadland would be like the weird little indie feature that I'm like, oh, this should have been nominated. Yeah. It would have been kind of like where like I feel about First Cow, where I was like, I really enjoyed it and I can't believe it's not there.
First Cow, name it any other name. These things matter.
I feel like you're just so susceptible to marketing that like other years you're like, oh, I love the movie like Green Book. Like Green Book's a shit name too.
I didn't
like,
love Green Book. How dare you? How dare you slander me?
I can't think
me.
Of any movies that came out
Green
last
Book.
Year.
Well, that's marketing because I heard Green Book a million bajillion times.
Moonlight isn't really a name of anything.
Moonlight's but a these are words that I've heard before. You know, I never heard the term First Cow. Promising Young Woman. That's a memorable title. That's a good title.
Okay.
She probably, what do you call it? She brainstormed that one with a PR team.
Another big missing movie in this Oscar noms, Tenet, the movie that we all
it got nominated loved for one thing.
Production design. But I'm
oh really? I saw special effects. I didn't see production, so it's been nominated for two things.
I'm surprised it didn't get nominated for
sound.
For sound. No, for the soundtrack or the score didn't get nominated because I feel like that was like the only thing I truly enjoyed in that movie.
Yeah, that was a fucking bomb. I think people were just turned off by it because think about it, most of the people that watched it on the small screen.
That's true. I mean, that was sick soundtrack though. Animated feature. Imagine you were on the Onward team and going to the Oscars knowing that you had to lose.
Yeah. to Soul. I never finished Soul. I enjoyed it. It was Soul's very, good. very Inside Out, I found.
Yes. I loved Soul. I think the end is really strong.
See, I didn't see the end. I should watch the end.
But I also like people's complaints about it. Like I understand, but I think they're looking at it the wrong way of like, they're complaining like, oh, it's about like commodify what you love and how you fit into a like capitalist system and blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, it's about that. But that's also like the system we live in. So why not make art about it? I don't know.
I don't think too deeply when Pixar decides to make a movie, unless it's like very sexist or racist, which they have yet to do.
I don't know. I feel like the Bugs and Bugs Life were definitely a stand-in for the Jews. And
I mean, sometimes they do stuff not Pixar though. Like Lion King had that whole like Nazi thing with Scar, but it's on purpose. Not that they're pro-Nazi. They wanted to show that Scar is the equivalent of the Nazis taking over. It's smart. I like it.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad. I like Soul. Did you see Wolfwalkers?
Is this a cartoon?
Yeah, it's an animated.
I've told you why I don't watch cartoons, because I babysat for too much. And the thought of, that's why I didn't finish Soul, because I was kind of like, I get it, because I've seen so many cartoons and I've had to see them so many times. So you better be a fucking Ratatouille for me to really take you in. And that by Ratatouille, I mean a romantic comedy.
The end of Soul is very beautiful.
So what's Wolfwalkers?
Wolfwalkers is a independent Irish animated feature that was on Apple TV Plus.
Oh, and I should watch it.
It's beautiful. It's fine. But it is beautiful. Like in a way where I'm like, oh, this is like extremely well done animation.
Well, this is the thing. Pixar owns this category.
Yeah.
And why? It's this thing of like, if you like, okay, obviously Pixar is always going to be the most like digestible of the things nominated, but like, why not branch out for like, have someone with really beautiful, well, they probably have all the money too, right? But like the really beautiful animation, like if Wolfwalkers is such a beautiful animation, like I don't hate that. I just want good things for people. And like Pixar might literally have like 100 Academy Awards at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they also have all the talent too. Like because they have all the money, they can pay people more.
Right.
So if you're like a 3D artist or 3D animator or animation director or whatever, why go somewhere else when you could work at Pixar for three times
and
your
it's
salary,
truly
you know?
Like I imagine in animation, you know, there's politics like in anything, but I imagine the cream really does rise to the top, because it's like either you can draw good or you can't, either you can write well or you can't, either you can voice well or you can't.
Yeah,
and that's that. Listen, who's hosting? Is there no host this year?
I hope there's a host. Last year with no host was real dull.
I don't think there's going to be a host.
I want a host.
They would have announced
it by
now. Because
I want it to at least, like, even a host sucking is better than no host.
I hate no host, and I find it offensive and worrisome for the career choices that both of us have made. But I like a host. I think it sets the tone and it has a vision. Like, it gives a theme to the show that shows, like, that need.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't announced it yet, though.
They haven't?
Let me look this up.
Don't they normally announce it, like...
They always announce it, like, months earlier. Like, way before. Okay,
but they don't, like, I think the nominations are out normally before they announce the host.
Who's hosting the next Oscars?
It just says...
Doesn't say.
It says the dark thoughts that consume you.
It says that Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra announced the nomination.
Nick Jonas' suit?
No.
It's so funny.
They both rub me the wrong way. I think Priyanka is one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen in my life, but I don't know if she's a good person.
I believe that. No, but when you're that pretty, you've got some skeletons.
Well, I heard some stuff about her family, to be honest. Like,
oh,
where
yeah,
she
yeah.
comes from. Yeah, I've heard some like some classist, scary stuff.
No, Google Nick Jonas' suit. It's very funny.
Okay. Let me take
a look. It's a solid... I don't want to spoil it. Okay. But I think that's probably where... I think you got to get going, right?
I got to get going. But hold on, let's just take a look at Nick Jonas.
It's a good way to end it.
Okay. Nick Jonas 2021 Oscar suit. What?
It's a solid gold suit, baby.
Oh, it makes him look so small.
And I also like he's standing next to like solid gold men as the Oscar statues, and he just looks like he's like trying to blend in. It's such a dumb choice.
Like, she's so elegant and stunning.
It looks like she brought like her weird like younger brother.
Well, she's 10 years older than him.
It looks like she brought her weird younger brother to be like, look, my mom says I have to bring him to the party.
That's the thing, though, because we want Priyanka. Priyanka's like an obvious choice for announcing the Oscars. Nick Jonas, not so much. This guy gets in, though, man. He was at the 25th anniversary of Les Mis. He got to play fucking whatever.
What?
Yeah, he got to play the lead. What's his name?
Javier?
No, not Javier. Like the kid. Not Gavroche.
I said Javert as if like that's the lead of Les
Jean
Mis,
Valjean. Not Jean, Jean Valjean. Valjean yeah. Not Javert and not Gavroche. Yeah. Someone's screaming who it is. It's the guy that Eddie Redmayne played.
Okay, so he's like, he's telling you that it's like red and.
No, that's that's who Aaron Tveit played in the movie. It's everyone but.
I'm dancing around him.
The romantic lead, the young romantic
lead.
Oh,
yeah. What?
I know.
He doesn't really have that, like, the songs are.
Listen.
Whatever.
I hate this. This year has really, like, sometimes when the winter is hard, it's nice to have the award season. And this year has really taken anything that's, I mean, listen, we're going through a global pandemic, but anything that's joyful or fun or frivolous or entertaining about the award season, this year has just smashed it. Doesn't want to let you have a good time.
I have a question for you, and then we can probably end on this.
Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta teach a class.
Are you having a hard time watching things?
Yeah.
Yeah, same. I can't at all.
Yeah. I don't want to watch
Minari. As I put off Minari, I'm like, I know I'm gonna enjoy it, but I'm like, I don't know if I can focus like that.
The Sound of Metal looks like, out of all of the movies that I haven't seen, like something that I will sit through and enjoy. Maybe it's hard to take, but it just looks like something that I can like glob onto.
I have no idea, obviously I've only saw the first 20 minutes, but I was like very affected by it, but I have no idea how other people are going to receive that movie.
I know that Nomadland has been described by the Ringer Network as lyrical, which is always a kiss of death in terms of me paying attention.
but I think, it's like, I think you'll get on the wavelength of the character. Like it's like you can really, like you can really see the character.
Listen,
and
I love
the acting. And so I think you can like, I think you'll get on that wavelength and enjoy the movie.
I love Frances McDormand. Yeah. We'll end on this note. The other night, couldn't decide what to watch. This is an example of how I'm unable to watch stuff. So I thought, I really feel like watching Primal Fear with Richard Gere. I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
But you do love that it rhymes.
I do like that it rhymes. My eldest sister, Vanessa, was obsessed with Edward Norton, but I was a little bit too young. And now I like, would I do Edward Norton? Any day, anytime. Edward Norton, come over. But I had to watch this movie because, and I paid $3 for it on Amazon because I was like, I don't care. It's what I want to watch. It's a 90s court drama. It's like one of my favorite. And Frances McDormand plays the therapist that interviews Ed Norton. And like, there's a lot of other stuff going on in that movie. But if it was just 2 hours of Frances McDormand and Ed Norton being interviewed to see if he has multiple personality disorder, which, by the way, I'm sure it's gratefully, like horribly offensive, but tested by today's standards, and it's so stupid and it's super cheesy, but everything she said, I was like, I believe her, she's a therapist. I agree. And she's so lovely. She's lovely. I just love her.
Yeah, I think that's what you'll get on board. Like, the plot of Nomadland is explained entirely in the title card, and then it's like Nomadland that has like a description of the movie, and then the movie starts, and then 2 hours later, I'm drunk as fuck. Like,
why are you drunk?
It was an oops. I poured a big drink of like a lot of gin, and then I started sipping, and then about an hour in, I realized I'd finished my big drink, and I was like, uh-oh. And then like by the time the credits were rolling, I was like,
just pissing yourself. Well, that's exciting. I haven't been drunk in a while, so. I thought for my birthday I was gonna get drunk, and I like opened a beer and I felt like a little bit loose in my legs, I would say.
Yeah.
But then I ate pasta and that really took away from anything.
That slows you down.
It slows you down. Anyways,
I got destroyed on my birthday.
I was gonna say, I'm sorry that I missed the park thing.
Oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
I drank a beer and had pasta, and I think you know where that led to.
Oh, it started to rain and we all went inside, so I was like,
okay. Yeah. So you had to spend the rest of the time like by yourself with Malson.
No,
or did you do something illegal and took Andrew with you inside, you bad boy?
No. We didn't end up eating mushrooms because Andrew had an audition the next day and didn't want to fuck it up.
Oh.
So we just drank some beers.
Well, that's nice. Oh, well, now I'm really sad I didn't go.
I had a point to all. Oh, I got real drunk on my birthday and haven't been able to drink since I drank with Andrew because my stomach just fell out of its body.
I was gonna say maybe we should get a drink sometime when it gets warm again outside.
Well, let's do it. Yeah, I'm healing.
You'll heal. I think it'll be warm again in a week.
All right. That's the show.
Okay, that's the show. Anyways, you've heard our plans, which is a classic I'm watching a movie trope.
Yeah.
We haven't had that in a long time. Let's just hope, I don't know, the hottest people win, because it's a potential for being the sexiest winners of all time. So let's get Andra Day out there. Let's get Daniel and Lakeith and Leslie Odom Jr. Just all tying. Get Steven Yeun out there. Just get all of them to win.
This is the least mad I've been about an Oscar nom in years, truly.
That's the thing, because not much choice.
Not much choice. I'm just like, the things I liked, most of the things I liked that I watched this year are on there, so.
Yeah, they still have to like get one in with Promising Young Woman, but I'll allow it.
Or fucking, my Promising Young Woman is The Trial of Chicago 7.
Oh, like, and Mank. So what are we sitting here? Mank would have gotten nominated, I think, regardless. I just don't think it would have gotten 10 nominations. Yeah. All right, I gotta go.
All right.
Bye. Hey, love you. Good night. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.